want to read one person, you can. Because we've got the other way to do this. The book of Romans, chapter 8, and verse 9 reads this way. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. It so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. That will get your attention. And we read that by one Spirit are we baptized into one body. There's the work of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to deal with that more tonight. So would you lift your hands and ask God to help us in the holy name of Jesus? We do need your help. Not only to say it, but we need your help to hear it. We need your help to be obedient to whatever it is that you're calling us to do. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. I hope I will not repeat more than this from this morning. But the foundation of the Christian life is the cross and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We know Jesus. If Christ be not risen, then your faith is in vain, says the Word of God. Jesus said, I'm going back to the Father. The reason I'm going to the Father is so the Holy Spirit will come. This is the very issue of what the Christian experience is about. I don't believe we will ever come to any sense of the value of life in Christ unless God the Holy Ghost interprets the things of Christ to us. Jesus said when he comes, he will not speak of himself. But everything that he says, talk about the Holy Spirit. Everything that he says will be about me. Now, why did God ordain that's the way that it would be? He never asked my opinion, and I never asked him his ways of doing things. I know that in the beginning there was God the Father. I know there is God the Son, and I know there is God the Holy Spirit. I can take and show you at various places in this Bible the workings and the purpose of each one, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You cannot know the Word of God except God reveals it, right? Paul said, I will come to dreams and revelations. This Bible, there's nothing that can be added to it, nothing that can be taken away from it. But you and I cannot add anything to it, take anything from it. But the things of God are not naturally learned by you and I. They are spiritually discerned. That's in your Bible. I'm persuaded to believe that when we begin to talk to people about Christ, to people about the Lord and whatever, you only get an earthly story out of them as to what they know. They have a little idea here and there. They get a little biography. But unless the Spirit of God takes up the incarnation of Jesus Christ, you cannot understand the birth. You cannot understand the coming of Jesus Christ. That is the truth that is not naturally learned. How anybody and everybody can accept the fact that a virgin had a child. They could even take the belief that Joseph was not the dad, that he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. But you cannot really take up the incarnation to walk in it, to live it, to experience it. Unless God the Holy Ghost takes those things of this book and makes them real in your life. I believe that that's one thing that God meant when he said that men will have a form of godliness. We need to go back and ask ourselves certain questions. Let me ask you this question. I don't know what may pick you, I want you to answer. Why do you believe that Jesus came to this earth? Think about it. Why do you believe God gave his son? Do you believe that was a reason? Do you believe there was a purpose? Do you believe that Jesus came to this earth born of God? He came in the will of God. There are things that block our minds and our thinking. It's hard for me to believe in the natural, in the eternity of God. Because everything concerning my understanding is time conscious. It's hard for me in my time conscious thinking to realize and to understand that there never has been a time when God wasn't. He never had a beginning. He never had an ending. There are people with an easy believism. They say, I believe it. But in the reality, that is something that they say they believe. But you take the man or the woman that has come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit, you may not be able to say it any other way than Brother McKnight said it. He said, I know it with my knowing. How do you know it? I know it with my knowing. God the Holy Ghost lives in Roderick and Stephen and Robert and David. When you read in the Word of God that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, something inside of you says, I believe that. Explain it. I cannot imagine a time when there was nothing but God. Everything in this earth is as I see it and have studied it on something of it. I cannot imagine this earth in the natural without form of God. But it's important that I believe that. Otherwise, I cannot know what he meant when he said God by the Spirit moved upon the face of the deep. I have to believe not only one of them. I have to believe all of it. Where did that belief come from? It didn't come from my school teachers. It didn't come from my Sunday school teachers. It came by the life of God that's on the inside. That says, amen, that is exactly the way it was. That is exactly what happened. Why did Jesus even come to the earth? What was he here for? There is an inclusive answer, and that is that he might bring you and I into the living knowledge of the Son of God, who loved him, loved us, gave himself for us. There's no way to comprehend the love of God, no way to comprehend anything concerning the works of Christ. It comes out of life. It comes out of the workings of the Holy Spirit. As Jesus said, just come. And there's been a book written that there was a man that died on Calvary. You know, in reality, most people believe that. But he said, you can't call him Lord without the Spirit. You can't call him Lord. You can give a minimum acceptance of his physical birth and his death at Calvary. I'm trying to tell you that we need the Holy Spirit. We must be baptized into the Holy God. Let me put it another way. God wanted to bring you and I into consciousness of the reality of himself. Unless God works this work in us, every man will do that which is right in his own eyes. That's in your Bible. I believe that God has a will for your life, for my life, for our lives. And I believe that God's call to us is to walk so close, so conscious of his life, that I do not do anything in my life like with my neighbor. I'm not trying to be a hero. I was miserable. I can tell you to get justified without his going. A deputy would have said, look, I don't mind having a party against your house. But my God, you don't have to involuntarily be a part of it. Somewhere down the line, in this life that we live in time, as much as God gave his son, we will give ours. And we're not talking about for the purpose of giving. But that same giving will be in us. But it has to come out of life. I don't know how else to say it. It can't come out of knowledge. It must come out of life. Jesus said, I give you life. I give you life. I give you life. You're right, God gives power, a lot of the things that God gives, but for this purpose. I give you life. I have told you enough. I lost in the newness of life that you may rise in the newness of life. In a little bit, I'm going to ask every one of us to come into this altar. Pray ourselves, pray one for the other. Let me ask you, when I say, why did Jesus come? What purpose did he come? Let me ask you a question. If he had not done everything that was the will of his Father, would his coming have been in vain? Would he have died in vain? If the Holy Spirit had not taken up the meaning of his life and his death? Jesus said in John 16:7, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come. Why did Jesus come? Why did he die? Everything that he did in the will of the Father. In the will of the Father. He's Christ the Son. But in that, it was in Acts 10, how that God anointed him with the Holy Ghost. Jesus lived 33 years on this earth. Never lived a sermon, never preached a sermon, never did anything until he came out of those waters with baptism. Jesus said to him, John, I must need to be baptized with you. 33 years old, come up out of that water of baptism, doing the will of the Father. He had a redemption to do. He had a church to be the head of, but that had to be done. Peter, I must needs be baptized with you. Right? Jesus was anointed with the same Holy Spirit that God wants to anoint me and you with. The very first thing that the Spirit of God does is to bring into the reality when not when we don't go forth to the rest of it. But I'd like you to get to the one and turn to Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost, that which was lost. He had a command of the Father that he would do. Let me tell you something about the relationship between the Father and the Son. It's recorded in your Bible that Jesus doesn't know the day or the hour that he's going to come back. He doesn't know the time. The time of the return of Jesus Christ is the time given to the appointment of the Father. He and he only knows. Right? We read in Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself, that's a capital S on Spirit, a proper person, but it's not a person. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit, small S, that we are the children of God. The very first thing God the Holy Ghost will do in your life is verify that you are a child of God. All of this, I'm deciding this. I don't know if I'm saved or not. I don't know if I'm really ready to go to heaven. That's ridiculous. God wants you to be filled with the Spirit that he can verify the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. We're saved. We're saved. I'm saved tonight. There is no doubt in my mind. I'll pick up with this in the next message. When the Spirit comes, He begins to want to take up the purpose of Christ. Whatever Jesus came to earth for, there is a purpose. The fact that the Holy Ghost experiences that when you're born again, God has a purpose. I'm anxious to get into old fashioned Holy Ghost purposes. I'm anxious to pray for people that God will fill for them. I'm anxious for people to pray for me that God will fill me. The trouble that this world is in today can only be solved by the one way, not by me, not by God, but by my Spirit. I know the condition of this world, but I know this. My God can take a woman and throw it to man. My God can take a woman and take that to man. God said, who can stand before me? Nothing. But when God fills us with the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, if you would just give me a brief moment to repeat a little bit of what I said and add something to it. The work of the Spirit of Christ, I believe, is one of the most important works on this earth. Talking to Brother McGee yesterday, he was telling me about being in Japan, Brazil, Israel. I told him, I said, you know, Brother McGee, that's a wonderful testimony. I told him about down here with the Knesset and Netanyahu and all of this. And I said, you know, there's a common denominator. That common denominator for every one of us is being exploited. It's critical. It's common denominator. But that just shows you and I have the power that the Word of God carried Christian, which was sent by the President to go over and try to work out a peace accord. He's wasting his time. He's admired the effort. We've gone through that with all the other leaders, signing the papers. But I tell you what, when they begin to cry, when somebody's leaving, come up to the man with the that's what we're going to do. That's what's going to come. That's going to come. It's going to come. The Holy Ghost working in the people, through the people. We need to be clear. I want you to stand with you. I want you to stand with you.